ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स। इन द लास्ट 17 एपिसोड्स we have covered the first 85 chapters of the 10th canto, and in this last episode of the 10th canto series we will cover the last 5 chapters of the 10th canto. In these 5 chapters Sukadeva Goswami very systematically establishes the supremacy of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So we will discuss these 5 chapters and we will complete the 10th canto today, and from next episode onwards we will begin the 11th canto. So in the 86th chapter of the 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami describes one beautiful incident. Once Arjuna, one of the Pandavas, he was touring different places, and he eventually came to Dwaraka. At that time, Lord Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, he was making preparations for the marriage of his sister Subhadra. So Balaramji's plan was to give Subhadra in marriage to Duryodhana. And Arjun heard about this. And Arjun himself wanted to marry Subhadra. So Arjuna disguised himself as a Brahmana, as a sage, as a very great saintly person. And then he entered Dwaraka. So he started staying there. And once Balaramji noticed this new saintly person who has arrived in this Dwaraka city, and Balaram personally invited Arjuna to his house to have meals, as you are seeing in that picture. So then Arjuna came to Balaramji's palace, and he saw Krishna, he saw Balaram, and he saw Subhadra. And Arjuna was very much attracted to Subhadra, and even Subhadra also was very much attracted to Arjuna. And Lord Krishna is aware of this. And Krishna also internally desired that Subhadra and Arjun should get married. Subhadra should not get married to Duryodhan, but she should get married to Arjuna. Krishna also desired this, Arjuna desired this, and even Subhadra desired this. So at an opportune moment, when Subhadra went to visit some temple, Arjuna just kidnapped Subhadra and he has taken Subhadra away. And chief warriors in the Yadu dynasty, they wanted to chase Arjuna, but even Balaramji also became very angry at Arjuna, that Arjuna has come in the disguise of a sage and he has kidnapped their sister Subhadra. And Balaramji became angry, and Balaramji also had a plan to give Subhadra to Duryodhan. So then Krishna caught Balaramji's feet and then convinced Balaram, Balaram, Duryodhan is not the right husband for Subhadra. Arjuna is the right husband. Arjuna is glorious in various ways. So in this way, Krishna convinced Balaramji, and Balaramji also felt very happy. And then he happily sent his sister Subhadra with Arjuna, along with so many beautiful gifts. So in this way, the marriage between Subhadra and Arjuna has happened. So Sukadeva Goswami describes this incident in the beginning of the 86th chapter. So after that, Sukadeva Goswami describes another incident. So there are two devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna in Mithila. So their names are Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. So Bahulashva was a great king of Mithila, and Shrutadeva was a simple, poor Brahmana in the same city of Mathura. So one is a Brahmana, one is a Kshatriya. One is very wealthy and one is very poor. So, but both of them are very much devoted to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, a devotee need not be coming from a high caste, or a devotee need not be very wealthy or beautiful or influential. A devotee can come from any background. So, here is one pure Brahmana and poor Brahmana who is a devotee of the Lord. And on the other hand, there is a great Kshatriya who is very wealthy and influential. He is also a devotee of the Lord. So one day Krishna thought that I have to reciprocate with the devotion of these two devotees, Bahulashva and Shrutadeva. So I will personally go to Mithila and then reciprocate with the love and affection of these two devotees. So Krishna thought like this and he mounted his chariot, and Krishna also took so many sages along with him. The sages included Narada Muni, then Vyasadeva, then many other great sages accompanied the Supreme Lord Krishna. So on a chariot, so Krishna went to Mithila city. So on the way, Krishna is giving his darshan to so many people, and especially the citizens of Mithila, they saw Krishna as soon as Krishna arrived there, and then they also offered their love and affection towards Krishna. They saw Krishna, and Krishna showered his loving and affectionate, merciful glances upon all of them, and all of them were very excited to see Krishna. So then Krishna is very wonderfully, lovingly received in the city of Mithila. Then Shrutadeva and Bahulashva both fell at the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, Shrutadeva is a Brahmana living in a simple hut. And Bahulashva is a great king who is living in a big palace. Now, Krishna has to visit both of them. So, Krishna wanted to visit both of them simultaneously. So, Krishna expanded himself into two forms. And he went to Shrutadeva's house also. He went to Bahulashva's house also. So, first, Sukadeva Goswami describes what happened in the palace, in the great palace of Bahulashva, the king. So, when Krishna came along with the Brahmanas to Bahulashva, Bahulashva received Krishna with great love and affection, and he offered prayers to Krishna. And he said that, "Oh Krishna, you are the soul of all beings, you are the witness of all our activities, you are the super soul. You stay within the hearts of every single living being." So Krishna's supremacy is known to this Bahulashva. "So you have come personally to give your darshan to us. It's our great fortune." And he says that, "Oh Lord, the devotees are very dear to you, and you hold your devotees more dear than your own wife also and your other close associates also." He speaks in this 32nd verse. He says, "Svavachastad hritam kartum asmadrgocharo bhavan yadathaikanta bhaktan me nanataha shrir ajah priyaha." He says, "Svavachaha tadritam kartum." Svavachaha means Krishna, these are your own words. Because Krishna himself has spoken these words. What are those words? And one more thing. Svavachaha tad ritam kartum. You came here to give me darshan, and you came here to fulfill your own promise, your own words. What is that promise? What are those words of Krishna? He says that nishkinchananam ayad ekantika bhaktan. So the ekanta bhaktas means unalloyed devotees, unflinching devotees. Pure-hearted devotees of the Supreme Lord are dearer to the Lord than Ananta. Means, na Anantaha Shrir Ajaha Priyaha. Ananta is the Supreme Lord, Ananta, Ananta Sesha, who holds the Lord, who is like the bed of the Supreme Lord. Then Shri means Goddess of Fortune. Then Ajaha means Brahma. So, devotees of the Lord are dearer to Krishna than even Lakshmi, Brahma and Ananta. Lord said like this. So to prove these words true, the Lord has personally come to the house of Bahulashva. Bahulashva is acknowledging the special grace of Krishna. Then in the 33rd verse, Bahulashva says, "Ko anutvacharanam bhojam evam vishrijet puman nishkinchananam shantanam muninam yastvamatmadaham." So he says, "Ko anutvacharanam bhojam, O Lord, your lotus feet are so divine. So all the living entities are just supposed to take shelter of your divine lotus feet. Konatvat charanam bojam evam vid visrujetuman." Who will abandon the shelter of your divine lotus feet that can protect us in all kinds of circumstances in all possible ways? So, nishkinchananam shantanam muninam yastu atmadaha. So you give protection and you give yourself to nishkinchana bhaktas, means people who are very devoted to Krishna, who have unflinching devotion towards Krishna, they get the supreme blessings of Krishna, and Krishna can give himself to them also. That is the glory of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So in this way, Bahulashva glorified Krishna in various ways, and he said that your glories, your katha can remove the sins of the entire creation, my Lord. And Sukadeva Goswami concluded this narration saying that Bahulashva offered prayers to the Lord and begged for the blessings of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So after this, Sukadeva Goswami describes what happened in the house of Shrutadeva. So Krishna simultaneously went to Bahulashva's house also and Shrutadeva's house also. Bahulashva is a great king and Shrutadeva was a simple brahmana. So Krishna went to the simple brahmana's house, accompanied by so many sages, including Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami and many other people. And Bahulashva, Shrutadeva, who is a simple brahmana, he became so excited. You can see in that picture that Shrutadeva catches his cloth, shawl, and then he waves the shawl and he jumps up and down. He becomes so excited to receive Krishna in his house. So many sages also came, so many brahmanas came. So this simple brahmana Shrutadeva received Krishna in his house, and he could not offer a throne to Krishna. He just offered some mats to Krishna. So simple mats. So Krishna sat on the floor on a simple mat along with other sages. And even Shrutadeva is such a simple and poor brahmana, he did not have sufficient mats to provide to all his guests. He borrowed some mats from his neighbors. And then in this way Krishna was received so affectionately and so lovingly by Shrutadeva. Then Shrutadeva washed the feet of all his exalted guests, and he washed the feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna with great pleasure, and he sprinkled that water on his head and also his family members, and he started glorifying Krishna in various ways. He offered prayers. Oh Lord, today you have been very merciful upon me. Actually, you are always merciful upon me. I am every moment, every single day, I am deriving your mercy. I am experiencing your grace. But today you are especially merciful towards me because you have come personally to my house. You reveal yourself to those people who are in pure consciousness. Shrutadeva speaks this beautiful verse, 46th shloka. He says that Shrinvatam Gadatam Shashvat Archatam Tvabhivandatam Dranam Samvadatam Antar Hridibhas Yamalatmanam. Shrinvatam means hearing about Krishna. So Shrinvatam Gadatam Shashvat Archatam Tva Abhivandatam. Archana means worshipping Krishna. Abhivandana means offering prayers to Krishna and obeisances to Krishna. So these are various elements of devotional service. Hearing, speaking, worshipping, offering obeisances, offering prayers. Dranam Sambadatam Antar Hridi Bhasi Amalatmanam. So people who are pure-hearted perform all these elements of devotional service, and the Supreme Lord Krishna will kindly manifest in their hearts with great kindness. So that's what Shrutadeva says. And then he says, my dear Lord, how can I serve you? Please instruct me. Then Krishna glorifies the nature of brahmanas. Now, Krishna did not come alone to the house of Shrutadeva. He came along with so many brahmanas also. Now Shrutadeva is offering prayers to Krishna. So now Krishna indicated that, oh my dear Shrutadeva, and through Shrutadeva he is indicating to all of us that not only you should worship me, you should worship my associates also. You should worship other brahmanas and vaishnavas also. So he says that in the 52nd verse, he says, Devaha kshetrani tirthani darshana sparshanarchanaihi shanaihi punanti kalena tadapi arhattamikshaya. So Krishna says, Devaha means demigods, then Kshetrani means different holy places, Tirthani, different holy rivers, Darshana Sparshanarchanehi, by taking darshan of these devatas or holy places, or Sparshana, touching the waters, or Pujana, by worshipping them, you will get purified. So devatas can purify us, holy rivers can purify us, pilgrimage places can purify us, but the purification that we experience by coming in contact with a pure devotee is much, much more than the purification caused by these devatas or holy places or holy rivers. That's what Krishna says. So my devotees are so pure, they can purify places of pilgrimage also. They can purify rivers also. So they are very worshipable. So one should not only worship Krishna, one should also worship Krishna's devotees, the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas. So Brahmanas are dearer to me than my 400 form Vishnu. So in this way, Krishna glorifies Brahmanas, and Shraddha Deva very carefully hears the instructions of Krishna and worships Krishna and implements those instructions in his life, and eventually Shraddha Deva and Bahulashva both are purified. So Krishna, just to reciprocate with the love and affection of these two devotees, Shraddha Deva and Bahulashva, he came all the way from Dwaraka along with so many sages, and he gave them personal audience, and he expanded himself into two forms to reciprocate with these two devotees. Simultaneously, he went to both of their houses. So, and Shraddha Deva and Bahulashva attained perfection. So that completes the 86th chapter. Now we will enter the 87th chapter. The 87th chapter is entitled The Prayers of the Personified Vedas. So Vedas are the scriptures, Shruti scriptures are there. So they are personified. Means they appear in the form of persons. The scriptures mean the books appear in the form of persons, and they offer prayers to the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So these are called the Stuti of Shrutis. Shruti means the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures. So once Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj asked that, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, my dear Guru, it is said that the Supreme Lord is beyond the reach of our senses, our mind, our words, our thoughts. So one cannot sufficiently describe the glories of the Supreme Lord with one's own mouth, one's own words. So how can the Vedas directly describe the qualities of the Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna? Because he cannot be described in words. And Shrutis are describing the Absolute Truth in words. Shrutis means they are all scriptures. So many mantras and so many shlokas are there in those scriptures. So they are basically descriptions of the Supreme Lord in the form of words. But the Lord is indescribable in words. So how is it possible? How are the Shrutis describing? Then in answer to this, Sukadeva Goswami describes that the Supreme Lord manifests himself in intelligence, senses, mind and vital air of all the living entities, and he enables those faculties of living entities to come in contact with him. So he says that similar question is asked by Narada Muni to Narayana Rishi once. So there are two great sage incarnations of the Lord, Naranarayana Rishis. So they are like twins. So once Narada Muni went to Narayana Rishi and asked the same question. Then Narayana Rishi said that, oh, you have asked me this question, but this question has already been answered by Sanandana when he was speaking to the sages of Janaloka. So I will quote that conversation. Then Sanandana, when he was speaking to the residents of Janaloka, he quoted the prayers of the Shrutis or the personified Vedas when they offered to the Supreme Lord. Now you can see there are four loops of conversations. Parikshit asked a question about the Absolute Truth to Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami quoted that Narada Muni asked the same question to Narayana Rishi. Then Narayana Rishi said that the Sanandana spoke the same subject matter to the sages of Janaloka. Then Sanandana said, this has been described in the prayers of the Shrutis, the personified Vedas, when they were offering prayers to the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So there are four loops of conversations here. So now let us see what this Shrutis are saying. So they were describing the Absolute Truth. They first spoke about Brahman. Then they spoke about Paramatma. Then they spoke about Bhagavan. So Brahman is the effulgence of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So the bodily effulgence of the Lord, which is so bright, so that is called Brahman. And that Brahman, or the bodily effulgence of the Lord, that is spread everywhere. It's all pervading. Brahman is all pervading. So within that Brahman only, all the planets are existing. So the effulgence of the Lord is spread everywhere. So the jnanis are attached to this Brahman, this effulgence of the Lord. And the second feature of the Supreme Lord is the Paramatma feature. The Supreme Lord is all pervading through this aspect of Brahman, or his impersonal effulgence. And second aspect is Paramatma. The Lord expands himself into Paramatma and enters each and every living entity, and he stays within their hearts. And in fact, he is there in each and every atom. That is Paramatma expansion of the Lord. So Ashtanga Yogis, they meditate on Paramatma. And Bhagavan is the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the source of Paramatma, who is the source of Brahman also. Without the person Krishna, his effulgence cannot exist. Without the person Krishna, his partial expansion of Paramatma cannot exist. So Bhagavan is the source of Brahman and Paramatma. So all these are spoken by the Shrutis when they were offering prayers to the Lord. So that Paramatma is worshipped by Ashtanga Yogis through meditation. And that Brahman is aspired by Jnana Yogis through philosophical analysis. And that Bhagavan is worshipped by devotees of the Lord. So who worship the Supreme Lord with love and affection, who perform various aspects of bhakti like shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, etc. So we are approaching the same Lord through different paths, but depending on which path we are choosing, we will realize that aspect of the Lord. So ultimately, it is Krishna who is supposed to be reached. But if we follow Jnana path, we will end up in reaching only his effulgence. If we follow Ashtanga Yoga path or Dhyana Yoga path, we will end up only realizing his partial feature as Paramatma. But if we perform bhakti of rendering loving devotional service to Krishna, then we will meet him face to face, and we will receive his reciprocation in different mellows. Right? Devotees of the Lord, bhakti yogis, they connect with the Lord in different flavors. Sakhya rasa, dasya rasa, then Vatsalya Rasa, Madhurya Rasa. We discussed all these things in the previous sessions also. So different devotees serve Krishna in different moods. So they are dealing directly with the person. They are not really dealing with the effulgence of the person or partial expansion of the person. So then the Jiva, the living entity. Now the Shruti spoke about the Supreme Lord, personality of Godhead, God. The Jiva is a fragmental part of the Supreme Lord. So he is a worshipper of the Lord. The Lord is superior and the Jiva is subordinate. Jiva means the living entity. He is subordinate. The Lord is master and the Jiva is servant. The Lord is the big fire and the Jiva is like spark of that fire. The Lord is compared to a big ocean and the Jiva is compared to a drop of ocean. So like that, the Jiva is qualitatively one with the Lord, but quantitatively different from the Lord. While the Lord is predominator, the Jiva is predominated. While the Lord is served and the Jiva is servant, he is supposed to render service to the Lord. And that service is best rendered through the topmost spiritual path of Bhakti Yoga that is established here. Then there are other philosophies also, there are other systems of philosophy, other kinds of spiritual paths, but Bhakti is the topmost path that is established in these prayers. So now, you see, there are three things. One is the Supreme Lord and second is Jiva. We discussed both. And there is Maya also. So Maya is the external energy of the Supreme Lord that covers the knowledge and potency of living entities, the Jivas. And that Maya does not allow the Jiva to render devotional service unto the Lord. That Maya distracts the living entity from performing Bhakti Yoga, and then one will be entangled in this material existence because of that Maya. So why the Maya distracts him? Because the Jiva himself is is distracted because of sense gratificatory desires. Because of desires for sense enjoyment, the jiva wants to enjoy separately from the Lord, wants to enjoy independently from the Lord. Then, because of this jiva's desire, the Supreme Lord sanctions that desire, and prakriti or maya facilitates the fulfillment of those desires. So then the prayers of the personified Vedas also described these three things, about maya, about jiva, and about the Supreme Lord. So in this way, they described the nature of bhakti also. If the jiva performs bhakti yoga, he can come out of the entanglement of this maya. And they also spoke about this material world, which is a manifestation of the external energy of the Lord, or maya of the Lord. So it is real, but it is temporary. So although the material world is also real, it's considered false sometimes because it is of a temporary nature. So that is also mentioned here. So in this way, the Shrutis or the personified Vedas glorify the absolute truth in various ways. So next, Narada Muni hears all these narrations from Narayana Rishi, and then he offers prayers to the Lord. So his prayer is, Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnaya Malakirtaye Yodhatte Sarva Bhutanam Abhavayo Satih Kalah. Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnasya Amalakirtaye. So I offer respects unto that Supreme Lord Krishna, who has Amalakirti, whose kirti or fame is uncontaminated. And Yodhatte Sarva Bhutanam Abhavaya. Then he says that his attractive personal expansions are everywhere, and by worshipping the expansions of the Supreme Lord, one can attain liberation also. So in this way, Narada Muni glorifies the Lord, and he offers obeisances to the Lord, offers prayers, and Sukadeva Goswami concludes this narration. So the Shrutis offered prayers to the Lord. So these are the prayers of the personified Vedas, or personified Shruti scriptures. So that completes the 87th chapter. Now we will enter the 88th chapter. In the 88th chapter, another beautiful story is described, an incident about Lord Shiva. So Parikshit Maharaj had another question. He is one by one, he is asking so many questions in these last few chapters. So Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, we see that demigods, demons and human beings who worship Lord Shiva could become very opulent. But sometimes we also see that the devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna or Vishnu, they are very poor. We saw Sudama is very poor at one point. So sometimes we see that although Krishna is very opulent, Vishnu is very opulent, his devotees are often poor. And when we see Shiva's devotees are very opulent, like Ravana, so many, Jarasandha. There are so many people who worship Lord Shiva for material opulence, and they become opulent. But Shiva seems to be like a renunciant. He is very simple. Vishnu is opulent, his devotees are poor. And Shiva's devotees are opulent, and Shiva seems to be poor. So what is this? Can you please elaborate on this subject matter? Why is this so? Then Sukadeva Goswami gives a very interesting answer. He says that Lord Shiva is always manifesting himself in three features, right? In connection with the three material modes, sattva, rajas, tamogunas. So Shiva is the in charge of mode of ignorance. So mode of ignorance is basically if you see in the creation chart, where we discussed the whole process of creation. So the universe comes out of Mahavishnu's body in a very small seed form in the beginning, that is called Pradhana. And that Pradhana gets transformed into Mahatattva, and Mahatattva gets transformed into Ahankara. So Mahatattva, in Mahatattva, the modes begin to become active. So when mode of ignorance becomes active, that Mahatattva becomes Ahankara. And that Ahankara again in three modes manifests various products. So Lord Shiva is considered the deity of this Ahankara. He is an assistant of Lord Sankarsana. So, Lord Shiva is considered to be a deity of Ahankara. We discussed this in Rudra Gita also. He is in charge of Ahankara, and in that way he is in charge of all three modes, but he is specifically the in charge of mode of ignorance. So now from the Ahankara in mode of ignorance, so many gross elements are manifested. Right? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, all these things manifest. So Shiva being the in charge of three modes and specifically ignorance, so Lord Shiva is basically bestowing material opulence to his devotees. Devotees who want very quick results, quickly they want to become very wealthy, rich, opulent, powerful, influential. They worship Lord Shiva and they attain material opulence from Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is the in charge of false ego, and false ego in three modes gives rise to so many material elements. So Krishna can, Shiva can bestow material opulence to them. But Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, Vishnu is beyond the three material modes. So he is not within the three material modes. Even Shiva is also not within the three material modes, but he is in charge of the modes. So Vishnu is beyond the three material modes, and whenever somebody worships Vishnu, Vishnu tries to take them beyond the modes by not bestowing them any material opulence. Sometimes you see that Vishnu's devotees remain poor. Now you see about Lord Hari, Sukadeva Goswami says in the 5th shloka, Harir hi nirgunaha sakshat purushaha prakriti paraha sasarvadruk upadrashta tam bhajan nirguno bhavet. He says that Harir hi nirgunaha sakshat, Lord Hari himself is nirguna. He is beyond the material modes. Purushaha prakritiha paraha, he is beyond prakriti, he is beyond material nature. Then sasarvadruk upadrashta, he is the upadrashta, he is the witness of everything. He is the overseer of everything in this world, but he is not affected by anything. And tam bhajan nirguno bhavet. Tam bhajan means one who worships Lord Vishnu, he will also become nirguna. The worshipper also becomes nirguna. He becomes transcendental to the material modes. But Lord Shiva is non-different from Vishnu in the sense that we see in Brahma Samhita also that kshiram yathad adhivikara visyesha yogat. So, milk and yogurt, they are one and the same. At the same time, they are not completely same. They are different also. So, basically yogurt is a transformation of milk. From milk you can get yogurt. From yogurt you cannot revert back to milk. So, but they are one. At the same time, they are a little different also. Similarly, Shiva is different from Vishnu. At the same time, Shiva is same as Vishnu. Shiva is not like a Jiva Tattva. At the same time, he is not Vishnu Tattva also. He is somewhere in the middle. So, Vishnu, when he is untouched by the material modes, Nirgunaha Sakshat, he remains Vishnu. Vishnu, when he comes in contact with the material modes for maintaining this material world, for the functioning of this whole material world, then that Vishnu becomes Lord Shiva. So Vishnu in touch with material modes is Lord Shiva, and Vishnu who is beyond the material modes is Lord Vishnu. So Vishnu in his feature as Lord Shiva, because Shiva is Gunavatara. So there are three Gunavataras, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So all three are forms of the Supreme Lord only. So Vishnu in his form as Shiva, he becomes the in charge of the material modes and the whole material world. So, but sometimes that Lord Shiva, he bestows material opulence upon his worshippers, but Vishnu or Krishna, they don't bestow material opulence. In fact, the Lord sometimes takes away material opulence also. Here, Sukadeva Goswami quotes Lord Krishna. Once Krishna told Yudhishthir Maharaj that Krishna purposefully takes away the material opulence of his devotees. The shloka is, Yasyaham anugrihnami harishye taddhanam shanaihi tatodhanam kyajatyansya svajana dukha dukhitam yasya aham anugrihnami. Krishna says, if I become especially favorable or merciful to a devotee, harishye taddhanam shanaihi, gradually I will take away all the dhanam, means wealth, of my devotees. then because my devotee becomes very poor, then he would be abandoned by his family members or relatives or friends who are attached to him because of his wealth only. So gradually Krishna will take away the material opulence of his devotees, and the devotee will have only Krishna as his shelter. So the devotees can exclusively take shelter of the Supreme Lord when they are devoid of any material opulences. So that's why Krishna purposefully sometimes takes away also. Sometimes Krishna gives material opulence, although the devotee doesn't want. We have seen in the 7th canto, Narasimhadev bestowed a lot of material opulence upon Prahlad, although Prahlad said that I don't want this. Prachetas, they just wanted to associate with devotees and hear Krishna Katha from them, but still the Supreme Lord Vishnu bestowed upon them a lot of material opulence. Okay, enjoy this wealth for several thousands of years. Sometimes the Lord will bestow material opulence upon his devotees if he becomes confident that my devotee will not be distracted. But if that material opulence becomes a distraction in the spiritual life of devotees, the Lord will just take away everything. So, but Shiva, means Vishnu in his feature as Lord Shiva, he would not do like that. So he would just bestow material opulence upon people who worship him for that material wealth. So these are two ways in which the Lord deals with people who approach him, depending on their moods. So now, to elaborate this more, Sukadeva Goswami describes a sweet incident. There is one demon named Vrikasur. So this Vrikasur wanted to attain some material benediction. So he asked Narada Muni. He met Narada Muni. So he asked him, Narada Muni, you are Triloka Sanchari. You are traveling all over the three worlds. So I want some material boon. Who can give me that very quickly? Tell me, whom should I worship to achieve my desire very quickly? Then Narada Muni said that there is Lord Shiva. Shiva is called Asutosh. He can be satisfied very quickly, very easily, and he can give you very immediate results. So you worship him. Then Vrikasur started worshipping Lord Shiva. So he took flesh from his own body, and he would offer those flesh oblations in the fire, and in this way he worshipped Lord Shiva for an year. And Shiva did not come. Shiva did not appear, because he has a material desire, and Shiva is generally not very excited. He is not very enthusiastic to fulfill the desires of his devotees, but still he is obliged to do it. So then Shiva is not responding, although this Vrikasur is offering so many flesh oblations to please Lord Shiva, doing so many austerities. Shiva is not responding. So Vrikasur, at one point, he became frustrated, and then he wanted to cut his head and offer his head in the fire. Then Lord Shiva manifested from the fire, sacrificial fire, and asked Vrikasur, why are you cutting your head? Stop this. Tell me, what do you want? Then Vrikasur said that, I want one special benediction from you. And Shiva asked, what is that? He said that, if I put my hand on someone's head, that person should die. So this is the benediction that I want. And Shiva smiled very ironically at such a peculiar desire. And because anyways Shiva promised, so he is obliged to fulfill that desire. Shiva said, okay, so be it, tathastu, take this benediction. So Vrikasur received the benediction, and he wanted to test that benediction upon Shiva only. So he wanted to put his hand on Shiva's head first. Then seeing the attempt of Vrikasur, Shiva started running away. So he went to different places. He wandered all over the three worlds, and Vrikasur was chasing Shiva, and Shiva even went to Vaikuntha to meet Lord Vishnu. Then Vishnu said, I will take care of the matter. Shiva, you relax. Then Vishnu came out, he came in front of this Vrikasur. And Vishnu asked Vrikasur that, where are you going? What is your attempt? Then Vrikasur said that, I just received a benediction from Lord Shiva that if I put my hand on someone's head, that person will die. So I want to test this benediction upon Shiva only. Then Vishnu said that actually these benedictions of Lord Shiva, they don't work generally. Because Daksha cursed Shiva. So since the time Daksha cursed Shiva, Shiva lost his powers, and then Shiva's benedictions may not work sometimes. Actually they work. But Vishnu told him just to bewilder this Vrikasura like this. Oh really? Then Vrikasura put his hand on his own head because of the bewildering potency of Vishnu. And then Vrikasura himself died. Then in this way, Lord Vishnu protected Lord Shiva. So by narrating these stories, Sukadeva Goswami established the superiority of Lord Vishnu over Shiva also. So Vishnu is never affected by material modes. Vishnu is the supreme Lord, and Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So Lord Vishnu glorifies Shiva here. So Shiva, he says, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. We have in this reference in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. Of all the devotees of Vishnu, Lord Shiva is the foremost. Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. So Lord Vishnu glorifies Shiva at the end of this chapter. He says that this wicked man died because of his own sinful activities, Lord Shiva. So how can anyone derive any fortune by offending the supreme spiritual master, supreme guru of the entire world? Like you. You are such a glorious personality, Shiva. So he tried to offend you. He tried to put his hand on your head only. He wanted to cheat you. So he himself died because of his sinful activities. So Vishnu glorified Shiva in this way. So but Vishnu's superiority over Brahma and Shiva is established in this. So that completes the 88th chapter. We'll enter the 89th chapter. In the 89th chapter also, Sukadeva Goswami tries to establish the superiority of Vishnu. Now, Vishnu's superiority over Shiva has been established in the 88th chapter. Now, in the 89th chapter, Vishnu's superiority over Brahma and Shiva both will be established. So, in the 89th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes one incident. Once, there were several sages who assembled at one place, and they were little confused, and they were discussing about who is the supreme person amongst the three main deities in this universe, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Out of these three, who is the supreme? Who is superior over the other two? So they were trying to discuss this while performing a sacrifice. And to solve this controversy, to solve this confusion, these sages have elected Bhrugu. Bhrugu, you are a great personality, you are a great sage. You decide for us who amongst these three personalities is best. Then Bhrugu went to test Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, all three. First Bhrugu went to Brahmalok. So Bhrugu happens to be the son of Brahma. So Bhrugu went to his father Brahma's abode, and he did not offer obeisances. When a son goes to father, the son has to greet the father, offer dandavats, offer obeisances to the father. But Bhrugu did not do that. So Brahma got offended. Brahma was thinking that Bhrugu came to me and then he is not even offering obeisances. So Brahma became very angry. But Brahma controlled his anger by his intelligence. He did not manifest that anger. But Bhrugu could understand, Bhrugu could detect that Brahma is disturbed. Brahma could not tolerate the offense done by Bhrugu. Bhrugu just did a mental offense at this stage. So Brahma was disturbed by it, and Bhrugu noticed it. Then Bhrugu understood that he is not great. So let me try another option. So then Bhrugu went to Lord Shiva's place. So Shiva is like brother of Bhrugu in one sense, because Shiva also manifested from Brahma and Bhrugu also manifested from Brahma. So Shiva, as soon as he saw Bhrugu, Shiva came to embrace Bhrugu. Then Parvati was also there. Then Bhrugu offended Shiva verbally. So it was a mental offense in the case of Brahma. Now Bhrugu committed a verbal offense in the case of Shiva. He said that, Shiva, you are unclean. You are living in crematorium. You are doing this, you are doing that. So you are very unclean. So I cannot accept your embrace. You are a deviant heretic. I cannot accept your embrace. Then Shiva became offended. Shiva just took his trishul to even kill Bhrugu. Then Parvati immediately came and stopped Shiva. Oh Shiva, please don't do this. He's a sage, he's a Brahmana, he's your brother. Don't kill him. You just forgive him. Then Shiva restrained from moving further. Then Bhrigu thought that, okay, Shiva also could not tolerate. So he went to Lord Vishnu. Then as soon as Bhrigu went to Vishnu Loka, he went to Vaikuntha, he saw Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi on that snake bed, and Bhrigu just directly went and kicked Lord Vishnu on his chest. It's a physical offense. So when he went to Brahma, Bhrigu did a mental offense. In front of Shiva, he did a verbal offense. In front of Lord Vishnu, he did a physical offense, which is considered more grave. So he just kicked Vishnu with his leg on his chest, on Vishnu's chest. But Vishnu did not show even a slightest trace of agitation on his face. Vishnu just immediately caught the feet of Bhrigu and said, I am very sorry. Please forgive me, O great sage, O great Brahmana. I did not notice your arrival. I am such an offender. I am very sorry. Please forgive me. And then he pressed his feet and pacified Bhrigu in various ways. So in this way, Lord Vishnu has exhibited great tolerance when Bhrigu offended him. So Prabhupada writes in his book that the greatness of a person has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So many provoking situations come in our life, but do we respond to those provoking situations in a very violent manner? Or we get disappointed, we get disheartened, or we become angry, or we blame others, or we try to harm others, we try to kill others, we try to chastise others, or we become sober and then try to understand things in a more logical and rational manner and exhibit some tolerance. So that depends, that shows how great we are. So the greatness of a person has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. So it's a provoking situation for Brahma when Bhrigu did not offer obeisances, but Brahma got disturbed. And it's a provoking situation for Shiva when Bhrigu criticized Shiva, blasphemed Shiva. But Shiva became angry in that situation and Vishnu tolerated. So Vishnu is greater than Brahma and Shiva. Nevertheless, we need to understand one more important aspect in this context. Although Vishnu is superior to Brahma and Shiva, still Brahma and Shiva in this competition, in this apparent competition that's happening between Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva just voluntarily eliminated themselves from this contest only. They are aware that Bhrigu is going to test us. Bhrigu is coming to our loka just to test us, how great we are. He wanted to compare these three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Shiva is aware of it. So Shiva purposefully exhibited anger in front of Bhrigu. Now you see, Shiva was offended by Daksha. Daksha criticized Shiva, blasphemed Shiva in various ways, and he cursed Shiva also, but Shiva was extremely tolerant. He did not speak a single word in retaliation, in defense. So when Shiva could tolerate Daksha's blasphemy, why can't Shiva tolerate Bhrigu's blasphemy? But Shiva purposefully became angry because Shiva knows the purpose of Bhrigu. So Bhrigu is coming to test us. So out of his deep love and affection and intense devotion towards Vishnu, Lord Shiva purposefully became angry and then he came on the side. So let Vishnu be glorified as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Definitely Vishnu is tolerant and he is Supreme Lord, he is superior to Brahma and Shiva, but that superiority is acknowledged by Brahma and Shiva also, by voluntarily admitting some defeat, accepting some defeat. So Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, he is greatest Vaishnava, so how can he just compete with Vishnu? So Shiva just purposefully exhibited anger and then Vishnu is glorified as the Supreme. Now, Sukadeva Goswami, through all these incidents, Vrikasura's incident and this Bhrigu's incident, Sukadeva Goswami established Vishnu to be superior to Brahma and Shiva. And now, in the next incident that he is going to describe, he establishes Krishna to be superior to Vishnu also. That's the second half of the 89th chapter. So, now we will discuss one incident in Dwaraka Dham. So, in Dwaraka, once Arjuna came to Dwaraka and he started staying in Dwaraka. At the time, one Brahmana just had a child. So, that newborn child, somehow as soon as the child was born and touched the ground, the child died. So, then this Brahmana picked up the dead body of that small child, newborn baby, and then came in front of the chief rulers of Dwaraka, like Ugrasena, and then kept this dead body there and said that, so, without my mistake, without me doing any sin, my child died. So, this must be the sin of the ruler. So, my ruler, means my king Ugrasena, or the Yadus, or the chief Yadus, they could not protect my infant baby. So, as soon as the child is born, the child died, that means that the king is sinful. So, this Brahmana started blaming the Yadus. So, now the Yadus were quite tolerant. They cannot speak, reply back to this Brahmana. So, this Brahmana just chastised and blasphemed the Yadus, including Sankarsana was there. Sankarsana is Balram is there. Krishna was there, who is Vasudeva. Pradyumna, Krishna's son was there. Aniruddha, Krishna's grandson was there. So, all the Chaturvihas are there only. Ugrasena is there, the king of Dwaraka. So, in front of all these chief Yadu warriors, this Brahmana is blaming the Yadus. You people are so weak that you could not protect my child from death. So, he blamed him. He blamed them. Then after that, this Brahmana lost his sons. Continuously, 8 sons were lost. So, as soon as the child takes birth, the child dies. So, like that, 8 people died. Then, the 9th child also died. So, this 9th child, the dead body of this 9th child was brought by this Brahmana in front of the Yadus. And then he again started blaspheming the Yadus. Then Arjuna happened to hear this. He asked, my dear Brahmana, why are you blaspheming? Why are you lamenting? Then he said that my child died. This is a newborn baby. What sin did I commit? It must be the sinful activities of the king. The king is not capable of protecting my children. He must have done some sin or something like that. That's why the children are dying. So then Arjuna started boasting slightly in front of this Brahmana. Okay, Yadus did not protect your children, but I will protect. Then this Brahmana said, don't overestimate yourself. When Sankarsana, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, when such a great exalted Yadu warriors could not protect my children, Krishna is personally there. Balaram is personally there. So, when they could not protect my children, how can you protect my children? I cannot trust you. We cannot take your word seriously. Then Arjuna got little offended and then he said that, no, I can protect you. I am not Yadu. I definitely have the ability to protect. So, next time when your wife is about to give birth to a child, you call me. I will guard. So, whoever kidnaps your child, whoever takes the soul of your child away, I will fight with that person and I will defeat and I will protect your child. You just call me. Then, because of this confident promise given by Arjuna, the Brahmana said, okay, fine. Next time when my wife is about to give birth to babies, so I will come. So then, just one day before the Brahmana's wife was about to deliver the child, the Brahmana came to Arjuna. So Arjuna went to that Brahmana's house and he was guarding with his Gandiva bow, very confidently. And the child took birth and he died. So the child is no more. Then Arjuna just immediately went to Yamaraj's abode, Samyamipuri. He went to Yamaraj's abode and then he asked the child, where is the child? Yamaraj said, I didn't get it. I didn't get the child. I don't know where is the child. Then Arjuna went to heavenly planets. Arjuna went to all 14 planetary systems actually. So he went to subterranean planetary systems also. He went to heaven also. So he searched everywhere in the three worlds. but he could not find the child. So not 14 planetary systems, he went everywhere in the three worlds, and he went to the lower planets also. He could not find the child. So then Arjuna became very morose. And earlier, Arjuna even promised that Brahmana that if I cannot protect your child, then I will enter fire and commit suicide. I will give up my life. What is the use of this life when I cannot protect even one small child of a Brahmana? So according to the promise that he had given to Brahmana, Arjuna had set fire and he was about to enter the fire. Then Krishna came. So Krishna came and told Arjuna, Arjuna, please don't give up your life. I know where the children are. I not only this child. So the Brahmana has lost 9 children before also. I know where all these 10 sons are. I will show you. Please come with me. Then Krishna mounted on a chariot and Arjuna also sat on the chariot. So Krishna took this chariot over across all the 7 islands and 7 oceans of the Bhumandala, and he even pierced the coverings of this earth, and he even entered the Brahman effulgence, and he even entered the causal ocean, and he went to the Mahavishnu's planet, Mahavishnu Loka. It's a very beautiful palace there in which Mahavishnu was living. So Krishna and Arjuna came in front of Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu was very majestically sitting on his snake bed, and Anantasesha has thousands of hoods like an umbrella on the head of Mahavishnu. And Krishna went and said, you have taken Brahmana's sons? The Mahavishnu said, yes, I have only taken the Brahmana's sons. The reason is I wanted to take your darshan, my dear Lord Krishna. So Mahavishnu is an expansion of Krishna, and this Mahavishnu is very eager to take the darshan of the Supreme Lord Krishna. That's why he has kidnapped the children. Then through this incident, Sukadeva Goswami established that Krishna is superior to even Mahavishnu also. Vishnu is superior to Brahma and Shiva, and Krishna is superior to even Vishnu also. So we will see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, 20th chapter. So Krishna is the Swayam Prakasha, the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, and his immediate expansion is Balaram, and from Balaram Chaturviha manifest Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, and from the Sankarsana of this Chaturviha, Narayana manifests, and from that Narayana another set of Chaturviha will manifest, that is Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, and from this Sankarsana Mahavishnu manifests, and from Mahavishnu Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu manifests, and from Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu manifests, and through Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu so many incarnations also come into this material world. So in this way, Krishna is the source of the source of the source of Mahavishnu. So Krishna is the Supreme Lord that has been established in this 89th chapter of 10th canto. So we completed 89 chapters. Now we will enter the 90th chapter, which is the last chapter of 10th canto. So in this last chapter of 10th canto, Sukadeva Goswami ends with very sweet description of the love of the Dwaraka queens towards Krishna. So the Dwaraka city is so opulent with all kinds of facilities, and the Lord happily stayed in this Dwaraka city, and he would play with his queens in the water, and then he would take syringes, and then he throws water on his queens, and the queens also throw water on Krishna. So in this way, the Lord enjoyed with his queens in his residence. Dwaraka is also filled with all varieties of flowers and fruits of different seasons, and Krishna very happily had his transcendental enjoyment with all his associates in Dwaraka. And these queens of Dwaraka, this Rukmini, Satyabhama, Mitravinda, Kalindi, Nagnajiti, all these queens of Krishna, so they love Krishna, and they express their love and their feelings of separation from Krishna in some song called Mahishi Gita. So we had Gopi Gita sung by Gopis. We have other Gitas also, like Venu Gita, Yugala Gita, then Bhramara Gita. Then all these Gitas were sung by the Gopis of Vrindavan. And now this is called Mahishi Gita. Mahishi means the queens of Krishna. Gita means song. So they sing a song. So these are like quote unquote transcendentally mad talks by the queens in their loving separation from Krishna. So the queens of Krishna. So they see the Kurari bird and they say that it has become night. The Supreme Lord must be sleeping. So you are unable to sleep. Basically, the queens are unable to sleep because they are overwhelmed with thoughts of Krishna. And they saw a Kurari bird and they said that, oh bird, you are unable to sleep because you are overwhelmed by remembrance of Krishna. So like that they see mountains and Chakravaki bird, the ocean and the Malaya breeze and the clouds and rivers and swan. They see different moving and non-moving and living and non-living objects. And they see themselves in them and they impose their feelings on them. And they say that, oh, we are overwhelmed with feelings of separation from Krishna, emotions towards Krishna. Like that they sing a beautiful song, which is quite esoteric and very advanced. So we will not go into so many details of this song. Then Sukadeva Goswami describes the glorious position of this great queens of Dwaraka. So all these people are directly able to render service to Krishna personally, and Krishna spends exclusive time with all of them. 16,108 queens are there, and Krishna expands himself into 16,108 forms and lives with all these queens in an exemplary grihastha life. So, and Krishna is enchanted by their loving devotional service more than their feminine attributes. So in the first canto also there is this beautiful description. Uddhava bhava pishuna malaval guhasa vridavaloka nihato madanopiyasa sammuhya chapamajahat pramadottamasta yasyendriyam vimathitum kuhakairna sekuhum uddhava bhava pishuna malaval guhasa. All these great queens of Dwaraka, they have grave expressions. They have spotless smiles. They have sidelong glances. And all these feminine attributes can even captivate Lord Shiva, who is very sober, or even Cupid, also who is very beautiful. But they cannot cause even slightest amount of agitation in the mind of Lord Krishna, because he is very sober. He is not attracted to their feminine attributes for sense gratification, but is attracted to their loving emotions and devotional service. So all the dealings of Krishna with the queens of Dwaraka are on a spiritual plane. Even their feminine attributes are also spiritual. So Krishna is attracted to their spiritual love, and there is no trace of material lust in the relationship between Krishna and the queens. So, and through each of these queens, Krishna begot 10 sons. And there are 18 Maharathis amongst the sons of Krishna, like Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Deeptiman, Bhanu and others, Samba. Samba is the son of Jambavati. And also, there are 38 million teachers just to educate the descendants of Yadu dynasty. So you can just imagine how many people are there. Krishna himself had 16,108 queens, and each queen had 10 sons, and they had further sons. So like that Krishna's family itself is like several millions. And just to educate all these Yadu, chief members of Yadu dynasty, 38 million teachers are employed. So you can only understand the extent and the glory of Yadu dynasty. And Krishna is Yadupati. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami concludes the glories of Krishna in this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, the last shloka of this chapter, he says, Martyastayanusavame dhitaya mukunda Srimat kathashravana kirtana chintayanti Taddharma dustara kritanta javapavargam Gramadvanam kshitibhujo apiyayuryadartha. So this is the last shloka of the 10th canto, 90th chapter, which is the last chapter of the 10th canto. So by regular hearing, chanting and meditating on all the pastimes of Krishna and glories of Krishna as described in the 10th canto, with sincerity, one can attain the divine kingdom of God. One can even enter the spiritual world also. So For this purpose, many persons, including great sages, abandoned their mundane homes and just dedicated themselves to Krishna's devotional service. So, of all the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 topics in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ashraya is considered to be the cream, and the remaining 9 topics are discussed in the other cantos of Bhagavatam to bring the reader to this topic of 10th canto, Ashraya Tattva, which is the supreme shelter, that is Krishna. So, various cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam describe various forms and incarnations of the Supreme Lord, but 10th canto exclusively focuses on the form of Krishna, who is the source of all other incarnations. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So, 10th canto is supreme, but one cannot directly jump into the 10th canto. One should systematically study from 1st canto, then 2nd canto, then 3rd canto, chapter by chapter. Then one can enter 10th canto. One cannot directly jump into the 10th canto, especially the confidential parts of 10th canto like Rasa Panchadhyaya and others. So, Prabhupada writes that one should systematically, the qualification to study Srimad Bhagavatam is to do it systematically as Vyasadeva has presented it. So, one needs to study chapter by chapter. So, this in this way, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam very beautifully describes the glorious pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwaraka. And Krishna also went to Mithila, today we discussed. Krishna also went to heavenly planets and met Indra. Krishna went to Sutala planet, he met Bali Maharaj. And Krishna also went to Kundinapur and kidnapped Rukmini Devi. So like that, Krishna went to different places also and gave his association and darshan to so many devotees in various parts of the universe. So in the Mukundamala Stotra, there is a beautiful shloka that describes Krishna's glories. हे गोपालक हे कृपा जलनिधे हे सिंधु कन्यापते हे कंसांतक हे गजेंद्र करुणा पारीण हे माधव हे रामानुज हे जगत्रय गुरो हे पुंडरीकाक्ष महां हे गोपी जन नाथ पालय परम जानामि न त्वं विना. सो इन दिस श्लोक इट्स डिस्क्राइब्ड दैट हे गोपालक हे कृपा जलनिधे हे सिंधु कन्यापते ओ गोपाल ओ कौहेड बॉय कृष्ण इन वृंदावन हे कृपा जलनिधे जल इज वाटर जलनिधि मीन्स ए वाटर बॉडी और एन ओशन बट कृष्ण इज नॉट एन ऑर्डिनरी ओशन दट हैज जल सो ही इज एन ओशन दट कंटेन्स कृपा जलनिधे ही इज एन ओशन ऑफ मर्सी ओशन ऑफ कंपैशन हे सिंधु कन्या पते ओ सिंधु कन्या मीन्स द डॉटर ऑफ ओशन गॉड दट इज लक्ष्मी देवी सिंधु कन्या पते द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कृष्णा इज दी हस्बैंड ऑफ गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्चून हे सिंधु कन्या पते हे कंसांतक हे गजेंद्र करुणा पारीण हे माधव कंसांतक कृष्ण किल्ड कंस गजेंद्र करुणा इन द एथ कैंट ऑफ कृष्णा डिलीवर्ड गजेंद्र पारीण हे माधव ओ हस्बैंड ऑफ गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्चून हे रामानुज राम कुड रिफर टू लॉर्ड रामचंद्र कुड रिफर टू बलराम ऑल्सो एंड समटाइम्स परशुराम ऑल्सो इज कॉल्ड राम जस्ट सिंपल राम बट हियर रामानुज मीन्स रामास अनुज मीन्स बलराम्स यंगर ब्रदर कृष्ण हे रामानुज हे जगत्त्रय गुरु ओ स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर ऑफ ऑल द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स राइट हे पुंडरीकाक्षम ओ पुंडरीकाक्ष ओ लोटस आइड लॉर्ड सो हे गोपी जननाथ पालय परम यू आर गोपी जननाथ यू आर द लॉर्ड आर मास्टर ऑफ ऑल द गोपीज सो जानामि न त्वं विना आई डोंट नो एनी वन एल्स अदर देन यू आई डोंट हैव एनी अदर शेल्टर अदर देन यू सो द पास्ट टाइम्स एंड क्वालिटीज एंड नेम्स ऑफ दैट सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कृष्ण were elaborately described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's our great fortune to be able to go through this 10th canto of Bhagavatam very systematically. So in this Bhagavata Pravaha series, thank you all very much. So we will discuss the 11th canto, we will begin the 11th canto in the next episode. Grathara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.